Welcome to Engage 360, Denver Seminary's podcast. Join us as we explore the redemptive power of the gospel and the life-changing truth of Scripture at work in our culture today.
Friends, it's my pleasure to welcome you to this episode of Engage 360, which is Denver Seminary's podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Eva Bleeker. I am chair and assistant professor for chaplaincy and pastoral care programs here at the school. And this is a fun part of my job that I get to do. I hope that you enjoy hearing this conversation between myself and two colleagues who are involved in a compelling and unique form of ministry. And I'll let you explain the ways that your settings are unique. But our guests for today are Chaplain Gwen Hanna and Dr. Mark Danielson. They are both connected to Denver Seminary in their own ways. And then they are both involved in ministry that has horses at the center in some way. So thank you both so much for being here. Chaplain Gwen, I might start with you and see if you will tell us a little bit about how you're connected to the school and the big picture of what you do in your work.
Right. Well, thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be here. I'm connected because I graduated in 2017 with my master's in counseling ministries, and I completed my CPE, one unit, doing chaplaincy at a ranch where I'd been affiliated and also in elder care. Where I've landed for the long haul is I'm a chaplain at a ranch called Caring for Kids here in south of Denver. And that the ranch serves those with special needs. Hippotherapy is the name of what the modem of service is. So kids come, and I say kids, but our clients come. A bunch of them are also adults. They get on the horseback. The leader of that session is either an occupational therapist or a physical therapist. And they do, you know, the therapy on horseback. My particular role is I get to be outside the gate with whomever is outside the gate. And that can be a parent. It can be a caregiver that is bringing the client. It could be a sibling. It could be one of our volunteers and staff who's having whatever kind of day they're having. And as chaplain, I just get to come in and walk alongside them and whatever that means. In my particular case, that could mean introducing them to baby chicks, feeding a pig. I've had times when I have clients and I do get a horse out and we do some just therapeutic things, brushing and groundwork and things like that, that are helpful for whatever that situation is. So sometimes I am like, I've been given the name worst case scenario. So in the worst case scenario, Gwen can meet the need of whatever's going on. So as chaplain, I just get to serve, love, watch what God does in among lives of a wide variety of people. It's not a Christian facility, so to speak, but we watch God do his work there all the time. Mm-hmm.
So exciting to hear about that, Gwen. And Dr. Danielson, I'll call you Mark from here on out, but tell us a little bit about your connection to Denver Seminary and the kind of work that you're doing with horses in your context.
Sure. And again, thank you for allowing me to be here today. It's a real joy to be able to come here and just to share about what God is doing. And my connection to Denver Seminary is, it's been about 3 years ago. I was asked to be a research advisor in the Doctor of Ministry program. And so connecting with doctoral students and helping them in their research phases of their projects. And so that's kind of my connection there. And then most recently, in this past semester, I co-taught with Dr. Ward a class in research methodologies. And so I love what God is doing in Denver and at Denver Seminary, and it's just a joy. It's been a joy to work with me for the last 3 years. So my connection to horses, I'm the executive director of Grace Children's Home in Henderson, Nebraska. And it's long been a residential facility for children in out-of-home care. Because of paradigm shifts in federal laws and that sort of things, Grace Children's Home no longer does residential care, but they do foster care. So we are a child placing agency in the state of Nebraska. Along with that, we have developed a real interest in helping children who have been experienced traumatic early childhood abuse and neglect, and being able to find ways to promote healing and well-being kids. And so about 5 years ago, and just shortly after I came here, we started working with horses and children. And that really grew out of our own experience, my wife and I, with our daughter. We have an adopted daughter from foster care 8 years ago, and we had 5 mental health diagnoses and have experienced profound and traumatic abuse and neglect. And so we began using horses as a way of building connection and trust. And we saw such a dramatic change in her that we began applying that to other children as well. And so that's kind of how we got the point. This year, we'll do about 600 equine therapy sessions with children. So
Thank you.
I have 7 this afternoon.
7. How wonderful. Thank you. And thanks for touching a little bit, Mark, on how your own family story brought you to where you are working with horses. And Gwen, I know that there's some commonality there with your story, too. I wonder if you might share what circumstances, what part of your narrative led you to being the chaplain at the gate of the therapy ranch?
Yeah. Well, God has been a companion and partner through some pretty difficult years in life. I've got 2 daughters in their 20s now. And when they were young, you know, about 20 years ago, our lives blew up. My ex-husband was removed from our home for abusing them. We went through that trauma, lots of counseling, lots of hard work to try to find our equilibrium after that. I mean, I was in ministry. You know, it was there's all kinds of pieces of that that made it extremely traumatic. Part of what happened, though, is my oldest daughter just loved horses. And as I prayed over her one night, you know, God kept bringing to mind a woman that I knew that did equine-assisted psychotherapy, so EAP, using the horses to help kids. I talked with her. We found a therapist, and my kids did that for a couple of years, and then they did 4.5 years of therapeutic riding lessons where, you know, my oldest daughter doesn't mind if I tell the story. It's, you know, when we started at the point when she was in high school, she was so still traumatized that even ordering her own McDonald's, she couldn't do it. By the end of her senior year, because of all those years working with horses, she actually delivered a chapel speech to her entire high school, using the themes of what God taught her through horses. And I think those years where I was the mom outside the gate watching my kids find the healing through what horses could do gave me the desire. You know, I've been in nonprofit ministry my entire career. I was in missions things before. But when God started moving in me to open the door to say, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to be where you, God, that horses and people are finding their way to healing. And through a number of circumstances, I landed here at Caring for Kids. I have my own nonprofit ministry where I raise my own funds so I can be a chaplain for whatever circumstances there. And God has just shown great favor. I'm humbled by all the ways he's opened doors and all the ways he's used so many of those life experiences as a chaplain to just be ready to empathize and be with people in their life stories.
Mm. I want to come back to some of those stories in a moment, but Mark, I want to ask you, for people who maybe have never been around horses and don't know what Gwen means when she uses the phrase, what horses can do, how might you describe for our listeners why horses are such a central part of what you're doing at Grace Children's Home?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really, really simple in some ways, and it's really complex in other ways. But the simple look of this is that the horse is like a mirror. The horse is reflective, being a prey animal. They're reflective, and they're always hypervigilant and they have a lot of situational awareness. And so they're reflective of things that they see around and experience around. And oftentimes as people, you know, I mean, I could come here today and I could put on a show and fool you, you know, or anybody. And the thing is, that doesn't happen in the arena. The horse picks that up right away, and they reflect that back. And so as you gain an understanding of being around horses, it's kind of like looking into a mirror that's really, really honest. It doesn't allow you to lie, and the horse will respond. But horses also desire connection. That connection and attachment is something that's innate with a horse. And so that helps, you know, children who have experienced trauma or really anybody, you know, building a connection, learning how to build a connection based on trust and based on respect, based on proximity, based on your mannerisms and all of those things. There's so many things that come into play, and horses are consistent about that. And so really equine therapy is a guided interaction with a child, between a child and an animal that wants to attach, and it's reflective. And there's this mysterious side where God invites us into this little place in the slice of history where he chooses to work. And Gwen alluded to that, like anything else that comes up, you know, and there's such teachable times and places when you're with an animal that's 1,000 pounds or 1,200 pounds and with a child.
So profound, the things that you're saying about mirroring and connection. And Gwen, as Mark was talking, I could see you resonating with what he was saying. How might you complete the question about what horses can do? What makes ministry with them so unique?
I think in our context, I mean, horses do that emotionally, but they can also do that physically. You know, when we take a child out of a wheelchair and put them on the back of a horse, the movement of the horse gives their body what their body can't do. So in addition to the emotional things, but when you're working with herd animals, which he's talking about the attachment and the relationship, and you're talking about prey animals who always live at high alert. So when you're working with trauma situations or just people who have gone through so much and they're at high alert, the horse is like that too. And learning how to respond to that mirror, what I'm doing or how I'm behaving is triggering something in him. How do I change me in order to have a safe relationship where he sees me as a safe leader, one who's going to take that horse in good places that can be trusted? And as, you know, as we learn that, and, you know, we have, like I said, our special needs, they come with emotional special needs, physical special needs, all of that is in the mix, you know, learning how to, you know, take a child on the autism spectrum and learning how to read the signals that are nonverbal and turning that back around and helping them to realize, how do I communicate in the same way? So they're just beautiful things on all kinds of levels. And God has made a horse in an amazing way that opens doors, opens ways of communication and of healing.
I'm imagining that our listeners are feeling curiosity about what the day-to-day rhythms are at the places where you work. Not that there's ever something that we could call a typical or a normal day. When we are in the helping professions, we have to be ready for things to change at all times. But I wonder if you could talk in general about what a more normal than not normal day is at your places of work. And either of you can start whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. As chaplain, you know, I get up in the morning, and one of the things that I love the most about what I do is God always has a surprise for me every day. And I don't know what that will be. You get up looking for the thing that at the end of the day, what am I going to be full of gratitude for? Right? I put on my chaplain badge and my boots, and I drive my way there praying for whatever is coming. And we have anywhere from, you know, on a very short day, maybe 5 clients. On a longer day, we can do up to 9 or 10 clients. Half an hour sessions. Typically, it's one client at a time. Part of my responsibility is also to our staff. So we have a horse leader, a volunteer or two, plus the therapists that are there. So there's people that are coming with their things, whatever their stuff is. You come in, try to center ourselves, and then the clients and their families come. And, you know, perhaps they've had a great day and they're ready to ride. And perhaps it's going to take the chaplain to coax them out of the car gently, you know, with whatever I can offer them, you know, whatever is the thing that is motivating. And then they get on their horse and they do their session. And that can include, I mean, the favorite thing for most all of them is the giggle trot. I mean, if they get a chance to go a little fast for a little while, it always brings a giggle on almost all of them. You'd think they'd be afraid, but that movement and that reality of that power and that normalness for many of our kids is just a beautiful thing. But it can include all kinds of things. If there's a little sibling, I've got some of the littles that are 2 to 5 before they're in school. They get dragged from therapy to therapy to therapy and for their sibling. And the ranch, I try to make it a place. One of my littles, when she was about 3, said to her mom when she got out of the car, "Mom, Miss Teresa is here for my brother and Miss Gwen is here for me." And just owned that time. And we spend time, play together. And I walk that little one right into full-time school, but also through the almost divorce of her parents. Took her out for a special coffee date and we just build relationships. But it can also be sitting with, you know, a father for multiple years, just going through his life and hearing how it's going, whether with this special needs son or life outside. He had another stepson who was really struggling through all kinds of things. And just being a presence and a listening ear and a receiving place for whatever they need to bring. And I've watched God turn lives around and meet them there, even to the point I just shared with Eva, even to the point of, one dad was baptized this weekend, and I just got to be in the celebration and watch God change a whole family. So it's just a beautiful thing. It's hard to put it, encapsulate it, but I go for the day. I see what God does. And, I could be weeding the yard for a long time next to somebody, and I could be having the most in-depth conversation that I never saw coming. So it's just being right there where God's doing his thing and just joining in.
Mm-hmm. Gwen, I just want to appreciate the expansiveness of the circle of your care, how that you see everyone as a potential recipient of your ministry, not just the identified patient, so to speak, or the person who's there to receive a horseback therapy session, but that everyone counts and that you have eyes to see the needs of the whole family unit and people who are part of that story who may not ever set foot on the property of the ranch. And just your willingness to flex, to see pulling weeds and feeding the pigs as part of
absolutely
the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mark, how might you describe for us what a mostly normal day is at your place of work?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to express appreciation for what Gwen had said, because, you know, with children, really a huge part of the equation in helping them heal is helping parents learn the narrative about trauma, and not to exacerbate that, but learn to cooperate, get the process, you know, one. And so, you know, visiting with the parents while we're having equine therapy sessions, and we invite our parents and even encourage them to be there. And there will even be times where we'll put the parents on horseback as well, and let them interact with the horse and the children, and we're just finding a lot of pleasure in that too. That, you know, I tell people that something magical happens, but it's usually not something that we orchestrate ourselves. We can put children on a horse. We are not an equine assisted psychotherapy organization. We do equine therapy and learning. And so that a little distinguishment. However, most of our referrals come from the licensed psychotherapist for sending them away for equine therapy because she sees the benefit in it. And a number of benefits. So our children will run the spectrum, the autism spectrum, from nonverbal and literally impossible to even get a helmet on them to children who are high function and really on the kind of the way out and truly needing that ongoing therapeutic intervention. So we, but it, for the most part, our sessions are going to be putting a child on a horse. We have four staff that work with the clients. And so we have an indoor arena and an outdoor arena. So we have the choices, the weather options, but we'll have patterns and different things, obstacles set up in the arena. And children are given an ability to navigate a horse through those things in some cases. And so they're learning about cooperation, about communication, about balance and trust and control and yielding and all just kind of, you know, and then again, there's that cadence or that somatic presence of the animal too, that the feeling the animal needs beneath you. We're always bringing awareness to that, you know? And I'll be asking the young people, you know, asking, can you feel the horse move? How do you feel? You feel your feet in the stirrups. And they'll be trying to out and raise their hands left and right in cadence with the horse, or bring that rhythm, that bipedal motion. It's just, that's really good for left brain, right brain kind of connections. And we'll do things that stimulate balance, like not holding on to the saddle, when they're comfortable, just holding on to the reins with one hand and letting their other hand maybe go straight out to the side or even up above. Mm-hmm. And then focusing on that balance. Of course, we have side walkers with them and they're helmeted and mm-hmm. And so there's, you have those things there, but it's about learning and building trust and regulation and connecting with their environments, having a situational awareness. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What do you smell? And getting them to use those senses while they're on the horse. It's interesting, though, we're finding that as few, with children for a trauma background, fear is a huge obstacle. Fear hinders self-regulation, communication, empathy, attachment. It hinders all that. So we have found that it's really true that perfect love casts out fear, and we can create a safe environment. Not only a safe environment, but one where they feel safe, where they can perceive that safety. When that happens, we see the fear drop down. Hmm. And all of those other things, the attachment, the connection, the regulation, the attunement, all of those things rise. And so we're really just orchestrating what God has put in place and through the nature of what he's created. And taking this little moment and seizing that moment. We're choosing to enter into a moment that God has given us. We're inviting him into that presence as well. And living, so it's really nothing, formulaic. It's almost just a magical moment there. When I tell people this, at the end of the day, it's also just fun.
It's just fun,
isn't that right?
Exactly.
I was teaching or talking to a group of 22 teachers back in the end of February, who asked me to come and speak about equine therapy, and so I did. In the last picture, I have a picture of my daughter, who's now 18, finally graduating high school. She helps out with equine therapy. And she is, and she's standing next to this girl, and this girl is just beaming with a smile. One of the teachers walks up and she goes, is that Emma? Because she had a helmet on, and she's looking at the screen up the far of the room. And I go, yeah. And she started crying. She started weeping. And she was in my special ed class for 4 years, and I've never seen her smile.
Wow.
And I, of course, I was just about lost again, too. Just the joy that radiates in the face of the children who are learning how to trust. And finding moments of time where fear isn't controlling and dictating everything they're doing and thinking and feeling, hyperventilating and all of that said down. It's fun.
It's just fun. It's fun. Yeah.
Something I appreciate as I'm listening to the two of you is how this type of ministry recognizes the whole personhood of the person receiving the care, that you're talking literally about hands and feet and emotion and spirituality and faith, and it's just so seems so integrated in your places of work. I'm imagining that our listeners, as they they're hearing from you and hear you talking about having fun, doing things that are hard and things that are important, that a person might wonder, how do you get involved with something like this? If a person were thinking, how could I do what Gwen does? How could I do what Mark does? What kind of steps might you recommend for them, big or small? A book to read, a program to enroll in? What kind of action steps might you offer?
Well, I said a book to read. One that I would recommend is Hope Rising by Kim Meader. Lots of stories about broken kids finding their way with broken horses and finding their way together. Very powerful testimony. Steps I would recommend is, you know, find a place to volunteer and go see what it's about. Go visit and feel the magic, really, of what God is doing, right? I think we have people come in and without fail, it's a, wow, you guys really work so well together. This is a place of joy. This is a place of hope. And when you're in that kind of environment, I mean, just go and see it for yourself. I mean, to do what I'm doing, you know, I knew I wanted to be where God, horses, and people were working. I really didn't know when I entered seminary that I'd come out a chaplain. You know, the CPE was required of me. I did that. Halfway through my CPE, I went, oh, that's what I'm doing, right? That's what this call is about. And I've watched it develop. So chaplaincy is a great path if you want to go on the more formal path. I think mostly it's just become available and put yourself in the places where God is doing his thing. Because he ground, you know, we all come with our stuff. And I think we get in the environment and the grounding of it all. As Mark was talking, that's what I kept thinking. You know, it's like you feel your feet, you feel your body, you feel your sensations, you feel your emotions. You feel all that, and you do it in the present. And I think that's another gift that a horse facility brings, is you have got to be present, both to stay safe, but also because in the moment, you need to be right there. And that is the most freeing way to live life. So I think my invitation would be, come be present with us, and you'll find something different in your life.
Well, thank you for saying so. What would you say, Mark?
You know, when you talked about presence, Gwen, that really resonated with me. In fact, on my notes, I have something written down that we talk about a lot here is somatic presence, and which is really what she's referring to, is like being aware of your environment, and horses draw you into that environment naturally. When you're touching a horse and feeling a horse and smelling a horse or sitting on a horse or like the horse, you know, at the end of a lesson, we always have a child come around and address the horse, you know, and reward the horse with appropriate touch. And without fail, every one of our horses will lower their head down into a very vulnerable position for a prey animal to lower that head and place that head close to the heart. And there is so much healing that takes place when that child realizes, I mean, they can come there to the therapy session, have a horrible day, but that moment where it happens, it's the most theatrical, just how the child responds to that force. And so I always say the same thing. If you want to find ways to get involved or put a mark on Henderson, Nebraska and drive here, I'll put you on the back of the horse and just to learn more about it. And we have people that are wanting to volunteer here and that do and help us out. And some say, I just want to come and scoop stalls and, you know, just to be able to be in the presence of those animals and to be able to be near them. So just being involved in loading and watching and what happens. My daughter is actually, our daughter is heading to undergraduate school this year for a counseling minor. Counseling major at the undergraduate level and hopes to work in an equine facility, and maybe even take some classes at a neighboring Kansas State University in equine science and to learn more about it. And she is It's kind of, 8 years of consistent writing, RAs. So there's steps that way as well. She anticipates becoming involved in quantum theory, after, pursuing a bachelor's and master's degree. So
that's just so,
we'll see what God does.
It's nourishing almost to just hear those kinds of stories from the two of you. And before we close out today, I wonder if in your preparation for joining us today, if there was something you were hoping I would ask, or a way that you might be able to say something that you haven't had the chance to say yet, something that feels really important to include today.
Yeah, I'm happy to always talk about horses, because seeing and watching the interaction between a child and a horse has been so rewarding. Probably never more so personal than in our own experience with our daughter. He found just profound healing by God's grace and through childhood trauma and abandonment. Here were her 10th placement. And you can only imagine that the injection and all of that that goes along, that she is in such a healthy place and such a vibrant, passionate soul for Christ. And I just to be able to say that, it's every week I get calls from parents and they're desperate. They're like, would you have a place? Can you just take my child? I can't handle it anymore. And I feel the desperation. I hear that desperation. There, maybe the child was adopted. Maybe the child was, experienced trauma, and trauma behaviors are so, so hard. They're very, very hard to work through. But I can say this, that God has used, in my experience, horses in some amazing ways to bring true, legitimate healing and connection and attunement and regulation and joy and peace. There is a redemptive presence when a child and a horse come together. And so I just want to say this, that in places where there is no hope, we've seen hope rise. And man, it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. One of our barbs is called Hooves of Hope. And where the hooves of a horse really do bring hope. Mm-hmm. Unless they step on your foot.
Good point. Yes.
What else is important for you to say, Gwen?
Well, I would just echoing that, the families that I work with, they have kids who are medically fragile, kids who are behaviorally so challenging. If you're one of those out there and you don't know where else to turn, look for something like this. Look for it. I've seen moms the very first time we put their child down and they see their child look sort of, quote, normal. And they're on a horse and they're riding, and they would never think that their child would have an opportunity like that. And I'd say, look for something outside the box and watch what God has that's outside of your typical therapies, outside of those things, and find an open way and let God do what he can do. And we're both here to testify that horses are one of God's amazing gifts to all of us. And just being in the space, like you said, scooping the poop is one of the most favorite activities. That's what brings most of our volunteers first. They just want to be in the spaces. And then we all get to work with each other and toward the common goal of bringing hope, healing, laughter, joy, strength. All of that comes out of our times together. And I've seen God just do amazing things, and I'm just so privileged to be able to do what I do. And yeah, come find us.
I think people are going to want to come find both of you. And so I just want to give gratitude to you, both of you, our guests today, Chaplain Gwen Hanna and Dr. Mark Danielson, for sharing with us today with great faith and wisdom, and also with vulnerability and heart and compassion for the people that you serve. And friends, for those of you who are listening, we're grateful that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. If you get the chance, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please send any questions or comments to us at podcast@denverseminary.edu. In addition, visit denverseminary.edu for more information and resources about Denver Seminary, such as events, degree programs, and other episodes of Engage 360, including full transcripts that are available to you. We're grateful for your interest, support, and prayers. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.